Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you are about to hear is a message from Dr. Billy Brim and Shelley Brim called The Mystery of Christmas Unwrapped, a special Christmas series from our TV broadcast, Prophetic Witness. For more information, visit billybrim.org.
And of course, Jesus fulfilled
prophecy.
Did.
Oh, yes,
hallelujah. He fulfilled prophecy, Shelley. This is my daughter, Shelley. And, you know, we have the Matthew and Mark and Luke, especially Matthew and Luke, who tell about the baby Jesus coming. But we know from Micah that he had walked up and down through the ages.
Yes.
I think about it, Shelley, the one who walked up and down through the ages, humbled himself, and came, of course, the way of the natural into the earth, because if you come up any other way, you're a thief and a robber, the Bible says.
That's what the Bible says.
So he came through a natural birth. And he couldn't even walk. He couldn't even talk. He was a baby, just like all the other babies. He had to learn to walk. But we find out the real strong meaning of Christmas in John.
And John says, what we're looking today in John?
John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's what we know He is, the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. He was there in the ages past. All things were even made by Him. And without Him was not anything that was made. He was the Creator. He was with the Creator. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Then we skip on down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word, who was from the beginning, was made flesh, that is, the incarnation. He became incarnate, God in man.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank God in man's flesh.
Yes.
The Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory. Oh, the angels sang when He came.
So that's after His birth.
Yeah.
Right? That's when we will be able to, in other words, I'm thinking of conception and then His birth.
Yeah, this is His birth. And we beheld His glory. And it was the glory of the, oh, what did the angels sing?
Glory to God in the highest and peace
on earth, goodwill toward men. So they sang glory to God, the angel chorus. And there is a scripture which says, that when He comes into the world, all the angels will rejoice.
Mom, I'm just got to thinking, and I hope this may be edited out, I don't know. But I just got to thinking, God doesn't do anything without sending His Word. He does all things confirming His Word. And I think about those old prophets, like Isaiah especially, who prophesied of this one who's coming, and how that word that came to the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, that word was a seed that God was planting on the earth. That seed of a redeemer coming.
Micah, all the prophets.
And even Micah, all the prophets.
That's what it says.
And what they prophesied was that seed getting on the earth. And Satan tried to stop that vessel from prophesying the word of God. So he'd have them beheaded, or he'd have them killed by
Sawn in half, Isaiah.
The enemy trying to stop that word, because once God sends His word into the earth, it will not return into Him void without accomplishing that which He desires. So no wonder the angels on the day of Jesus' birth, they said, glory, hallelujah, because they are witnesses of God faithfully through His prophets, speaking the word, sending the seed. And now the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, is consummated. And now He's on the earth, and we're beholding
and
His
glory. And the angels sing.
And the angels are rejoicing, like,
and they appear to the shepherd boys.
Accomplished.
The yes. young shepherds in the field.
Yes.
And they look up and they say, oh, glory to God in the highest.
Yes.
And the angels are singing. And Shelley, to commemorate that, there is an ancient feast that has been kept from the time of Jesus after he left. The apostles kept it, and it's called Michaelmas. And the church lost a consciousness of why they celebrate it, but they still celebrate it even to today in some of the places. So I looked up Michaelmas because I read about it here in Bullinger's
Companion Bible.
And mm-hmm. he's trying to rescue people, you out there, who dare not decorate your house for Christmas. He's trying to rescue you and let you know you don't have to think that this was a pagan day, that this day was on God's calendar. And that's why they were celebrating Michaelmas.
Yes.
Till today they do it on the 29th of September. And I'm going to read you what Wikipedia says. Wikipedia says Michaelmas, also known as the Feast of Saints Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, Raphael, the Feast of the Archangels, the Feast of Saint Michael and all the angels. That's what it's called. It's a minor Christian festival observed in some Western liturgical calendars on 29th of September. They have lost the reason why. But now I'm going to go on here with, this is Wikipedia. In Christianity, the Archangel Michael is the greatest of all the archangels, and he is honored for defeating Satan in the war of heaven. He is one of the principal angelic warriors, seen as a protector against the dark of night, the administrator of... Michael is particularly the angel that came, you remember, when Daniel prayed, mm-hmm. and he comes in behalf of Israel.
Yes.
So the church has been celebrating this feast, and they lost sight of why they did it. But he has researched this out, Bullinger, in the Companion Bible. And he says that the reason, now here's his premise, which we talked about on the other program, that actually Michaelmas is celebrated on September 29, because in the year of the birth of Jesus, that was the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says in John that he, the Word, was made flesh, and the Greek says he tabernacled among us. So he then would have been a part of that great calendar of redemption. His birth would have been marked as on the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you count back 9 months, the day of his conception, when that Holy Spirit said on Mary, you know, mm-hmm. came upon Mary, that would have been December 25th. So both days are on the God calendar.
Yeah.
If he's right, and of course you've got the right to your own opinion, but you're going to have to argue with some facts that he's got right here in the back of his Bible. Oh, I like my Companion Bible, Shelley.
I know it, and I think, you know, it's worth, if you don't have one, to get one. And
yeah, mine's by Kriegel Publishers. There may be other people that...
And he has different appendix, and this is 179,
yeah.
right, that we're referring to?
And it's parallel datings. Mm-hmm. He dates the date... Of the Lord's birth and of the 6 months before John the Baptist. And he goes into great, great detail. So we're going to go into some of the detail as to why Jesus was not born on December 25th, but it's still okay for us honor that date because it was actually the date of his conception. So here's some of his arguments. Shall we start reading? This is real little print, so I got to have some cheaters.
Okay. What number do you want to start on?
Let's start there at
number four.
The begetting day of the Lord.
The begetting day
was announced by the angel Gabriel. We see that from Daniel 8 and Luke 1:19. Mm-hmm. That's when he announced. But the birthday by the angel of the Lord, it doesn't name him. It doesn't name him in Matthew or Luke. But the angel of the Lord would be probably considered Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And so this Michael, the archangel, he was the one who would have been the head of the angel choir. But the angel choir was all there. So start reading there. This angelic being was Michael, who was the one announcing to the shepherds.
Right. Same one referred to in Jude 9.
Uh-huh.
And Michael, the great prince of Daniel chapter 12.
He's called the great prince of Israel, right?
And mm-hmm. it seems clear for the following reason. If, when again, yet future... He bringeth the first begotten into the world,
And he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And the reference is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6.
But it's quoting Psalm 97:6.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that the Lord said, when he comes into the world again, the Word.
Yes.
That all the angels of God are going to worship him.
All.
And they did. All
and
the angels.
Did.
It says all the angels of God. Psalm 97:6.
Yes.
So all the angels of God.
Which include.
All the angels.
Mm-hmm.
Would have appeared there in that heavenly host singing.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
And the angel. And of course the little shepherd boys. But all the angels of God. Of course. Michael. The archangel,
yes.
The great prince,
well, sure.
He would have been the head over them,
yes.
over that annunciation of his birth. And so the early church had a mass called the Michael Mass. Michael, and it was also called, oh, let me see here what else it was called. It was called the Feast of St. Michael and all the angels. How much closer can you get? The Feast of St. Michael and all the angels, they were all the angels there announcing his birth.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Exactly.
So, praise the Lord. Now,
that's so good, Mom.
Isn't that good? Bless
yes,
the Lord.
It is.
So, he was announced, and he announced. Okay, number three. This is fact number three.
Okay, the fact of the birth of our Lord having been revealed to the shepherds by the archangel Michael on the 15th of
Tishri. That's
Tishri,
all you need to say, yeah.
Corresponding to the September 29th. 4 B.C., the first day at the Feast of Tabernacles, must have been known to believers in the Apostolic Age.
So in the Apostolic Age, they would have known this. They would have created the Mass. And so then we're going to move along. Let's move along to number four.
If, however, we realize that the center of gravity, so to speak, of what we call the Incarnation is the Incarnation itself, the wondrous fact of the divine begetting, when the Word became flesh.
So he would have become flesh, Shelley, then, in his mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Technically,
okay.
That's right.
Technically, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you see this on the notes on Matthew 1 and also John chapter 1.
14.
Mm-hmm. Verse 14. And that this is to be associated with December 25th instead of as March, as for 1,600 years Christendom
Christians
has been led
preach,
to believe.
Yeah. Okay. The Annunciation, the next paragraph.
The Annunciation by the angel Gabriel marked the genesis of Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and the first words of John chapter 1, verse 14. The announcement to the shepherds by the archangel Michael marked the birth of our Lord. John 1, 14 is read as though, quote, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, unquote. We're one and the same thing, whereas they are two clauses. That's it.
Yeah, they're two
That's
clauses.
That's it. The Word became flesh. That's one clause.
That's one clause. And that was in his mother's womb.
That's a conception.
Uh-huh.
And then the second clause is, and dwelt among us,
which
is his birth.
And tabernacled among us.
And tabernacled among us. Right.
That's right. Two clauses. The Word became flesh in the...
So we said all that to say this.
There were two parts. Right.
So, now...
The Word tabernacled...
Yes, here represents, receives beautiful significance from the knowledge that, the quote, the Lord of glory was found in fashion as a man.
It's
and
written.
Thus
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tabernacling in human flesh.
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. We hope you enjoyed the message from Dr. Billy Brim and Shelley Brim called The Mystery of Christmas Unwrapped. For more information, visit billybrim.org.